2,000 years ago, the word Rome was synonymous with the idea of civilization itself. Today, as Italy's political capital and the spiritual home of the Catholic Church, it's also a living, open-air museum. Anyone can get a feel for its majesty through the centuries just by looking at the grandeur all around you. Just ahead on today's Travel with Rick Steves, we look at the artistic triumphs of Michelangelo in Rome, and we'll see how you can read the city's history in its great buildings and monuments. Let's start the hour a few hours away by high-speed train in Europe's best-preserved city, Venice. The city that once ruled the Mediterranean has now become a tourist mecca. You could call it an adult Disneyland. The biggest complaint I hear from people who visit Venice is about the crowds of tourists that can clog its streets and piazzas during the day. But there are ways to experience something more real, more romantic, more legendary in Venice. As a city without cars, Venice can offer some interesting options to help you understand why the city is nicknamed La Serenissima, the most serene place. Tour guides Elena Zamperon and Lisa Anderson specialize in leading American travelers around Italy. They join us now for a fresh look at Venice from the streets and from the water. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Hi,
buongiorno.
Lisa and Elena, thanks for joining us. When people first come to Venice, I think the first impression is quite important. Elena, what are the first, when somebody comes to Venice, how do they first see it?
They see finally for the first time that it's not a Disneyland city, it's not a Vegas city, but it's a real Venice with the real locals that really exist. We live on the island.
It's a world apart, it literally apart from the mainland. It's connected by this causeway where you've got trains and cars coming in. And Lisa, I've flown into Venice, and you've got a modern airport.
Oh, absolutely.
And from the airport, you hop right on the equivalent of a bus, which zips you right downtown.
Dalle Laguna,
by water.
Which can bring you right into town to St. Mark's or to Zattere, to various places in the city.
Within walking distance, most likely, of your hotel. Also, a lot of people will side trip in from cheaper hotels on the mainland, won't they?
People come in for day trips. That was the first time I ever came to Venice, was from Verona. Took a train in, walked from St. Mark's Square. We got poured on. Summer storm, you could have had a bar of soap and taken a shower out there. And we didn't want to catch the Vaporetto back to the train station. We were zigzagging through the streets of Venice just looking for signs that said Stazione, Ferrovia.
Ferrovia. So follow the signs.
Exactly.
This don't try to follow streets, because there's really not streets in our kind of sense. But you have signs very clearly indicating where's the train station, where's the main square,
where's
Rialto,
the big church, Academia.
And so on. Mm-hmm. Now, Elena, you've grown up in Venice, actually, and it must be amazing for you to watch the tourism just come in like a tide, sinking the city in a bunch of commercialism. Where do you go to find the Venice that you grew up with? Is there a parallel Venice for people who live there?
Oh, yeah. Just a little bit away from the main sites. Uh-huh. So you can find it. Even though it's an island, there is just very little streets away, just 1-2 blocks away from the main sites. You can find the local people sitting on a bench, chit-chatting or drinking wine. And you can even sit down with them, and they are going to talk to you even though you are American, because they try to speak Venetian slowly, and they think that that's American.
They try to speak Venetian slowly so that you can understand?
Yes.
So what's an example? Tell me something in Venetian, fast and regular, and how you would tell me.
Let me think, perché non ti va a San Marco? Why don't you go to San Marco? Or why don't you drink wine? Perché non ti bevi vino?
Okay, then how would you say it to me? Because I don't understand you.
Like, perché non ti bevi vino? By using hands and many gestures.
I still don't get it. So you would
course.
Go more hands
of
and you
course.
Would go even slower. Now, when you're in Venice, it's a world of canals.
Yeah.
So how do you enjoy the canals of Venice as a Venetian?
Yeah, I've been rowing many times, standing like gondoliers. I am not a gondolier. That is just for men, of course. But it's nice. You can see a city from a different level. From sea level, it's totally different.
So you do it by a kayak?
By kayak and also by rowing. It's totally different. And we used to say that Venice can be approached by two different points of view, one from the streets and one from the canal. So if you have always walked down the streets and across the bridge and turn left to go to school, with the canal, you got to go around and around. It's a different city, very different city.
Now, Lisa, I've noticed that myself doing a very touristy thing, taking a gondola ride. When you get in that gondola, even though it's very touristy, you and your favorite travel partner and up to six people to share the price if you're on a budget.
And that's how Venice is supposed to be seen, from water.
It is a different Venice, isn't
it? It is a different Venice, and it's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, one of the things that if somebody plans ahead when they go to Venice, have you ever done a rowing lesson with rowvenice.org?
No.
That's one of the funnest things I've ever done, and you really get back in some of the...
Is it oaring, like in a rowboat, or is it actually with a single oar like a Venetian
you're
gondola?
You're on a single oar like a Venetian gondola, but you're on a boat that's a little bit broader. It's not quite as rocky, and you can...
So it's gondolier for beginners.
It's gondolier
like
for beginners.
Wheels, a bicycle
exactly.
with training wheels.
And you learn the commands and the canals and how to tuck your oar in while you're cruising down the canal, and you can work as a team because it's a boat that can be rowed by one person or two people.
Okay. But there is a physics of powering a boat with
absolutely,
one oar.
Absolutely, and it's hard.
I love when I'm in the back streets of Venice, Elena, to hear the sound of the gondoliers. They make some oi or something like
that's
that.
That's true.
What is
O-E.
That?
Oi.
Oi.
It means I'm coming.
It means I'm coming.
I'm coming.
Because there's a blind corner.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, you could have a gondola crash.
Yeah.
And then I love the graceful way they actually put their foot on the wall and push around the corner. It's just, the gondolas are one with the city.
Yeah, they are the kings. The gondoliers are the kings of the canals. And they are very elegant. And the gondola itself, it's very sinuous.
Now, you're a young woman who's grown up in Venice. What do you think about the gondoliers? None of them are listening right now. What do you think about the gondoliers? What are they like? What kind of culture is that?
I think that it's a craft and it's an art.
To be the gondolier.
Yeah, to be the gondoliers.
But I'm talking about just their romantic.
The romantic way to
kind of
move the
players,
oar.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I heard that in Venice, if a girl falls for a gondolier, they say
singing.
She has ham over her eyes. It's like she's very, isn't that a phrase? Or
they
something?
Can be quite
yeah,
flirty.
It's a phrase of it. Yeah.
If you fall in love with a gondolier, you got a ham over your eyes because he's can be more romantic than the reality.
Yeah. They can see too many girls each day. Mm.
Oh, now
too
that's
hard.
A problem because they've got all of these romantic girls in their boat.
Yeah, yeah. And kissing each other and helping them to get off. Come on, complicated world.
A complicated world, that's right. Italy-based tour guides Elena Zamperon and Lisa Anderson are with us on Travel with Rick Steves to help us navigate our way through Venice. Their insider advice can help us get around the crowds of day trippers and cruise ship passengers that can often make it a challenge to enjoy the most popular parts of the city.
There are days in Venice during the high season where there are as many tourists coming on a day trip as there are Venetians that live there.
Mm. Doubling the population.
It's overwhelming.
So how would you get off the beaten path in Venice? Because in a lot of ways, it seems like it's just completely inundated with tourists. I, by the way, I recommend spending the extra money to sleep right in Venice, not on the mainland. But what would you do to get off the beaten path there?
A couple of things I would do. One, if you're going during the high season, the Doge's Palace in the evening has been opened on weekends, Friday and Saturday nights, and they stay open until 11 o'clock at night. And I'm pretty sure that they're going to continue to do that. I think the last entrance is at 10 o'clock. And you have the place to yourself. It is fantastic.
Nice. So this is
so
summer,
you do it
Fridays
in the evening,
and Saturdays?
Friday or Saturday night in the summertime, and it is marvelous.
And that's the Doge's Palace?
The Doge's Palace. And that's going to be one of the busiest places you could possibly go during the day.
That's good advice.
And just wander, get out into the other neighborhoods. I love Dorso Duro because a lot of people just kind of get disenchanted with the crowds in St. Mark's. They're the things you have to see. But if you can take the time and get off the beaten path in Venice, it's a whole nother world.
You know, I was in Venice for 12 days in a row as we shot two TV shows. For 12 mornings, I got up and I walked across town to meet my crew. And I noticed I was up every morning and working by about 7 o'clock or 7:30. The city is a different city between 7 and 9 in the morning. And it's a different city after 6 o'clock in the evening. Be out early, be out late. My treasures were walking across Venice before the tourists hit. It was just me and the local workers heading off to their place of employment, and it was a different city. Elena.
Yeah, I agree. You can meet the street sweepers. You can see children going to school with their grandparents. It's lovely. You can really appreciate the city as it really is, with no crowds, no people walking around, no tourists, no people just struggling for finding souvenirs or stuff like this.
So there is... I mean, you, as a Venetian, you have to accept tourism. It butters your bread, we like to say.
Yeah.
You know, it brings your
of
economy.
Course.
But there is a community. And if you're up in the morning or out late at night, you can actually feel that community of Venice. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Elena Zamperon and Lisa Anderson. And I'd love to just cap this discussion with an example of La Serenissima. I love to say that. It's the serene place, the most serene place, Venice. And if you could just describe one beautiful, tranquilo moment in Venice, Lisa and then Elena, to just inspire people to go to Venice and find that magic.
So one of my favorite places to go in Venice, even at the busiest time of day, is Campo Santa Margherita. It's a funny sort of triangular-shaped campo, lots of students because the university's near there, and there's always a little local market, a little fish market, fruits and vegetables, every single day except, I think, Sunday. And I remember this very elegant woman one day walking across the piazza, una veneziana, a lady probably 85 years old, in a beautiful suit, high heels, just sauntering across the piazza. It was beautiful.
So no famous canal there, but definitely the local character, the university district.
Good and it's place to get a spritz.
It's a good aperitivo scene, isn't it?
Mm-hmm,
I love
fabulous.
To go there early in the evening, and there's always a lot of students hanging out and buy a spritz. That's the fancy drink that kids like. And remember, Santa Margherita, it's a small island, and it looks like it's a long ways away, but you can walk there in 20 minutes from all the tourist action.
It's in the area of Dorso Duro, Campo Santa Margherita, and it's fabulous.
Elena, what would you recommend for a visitor to enjoy La Serenissima?
Rialto at night.
The
it's
Rialto
empty.
At night.
Yeah, I know. During the day, it's crowded. It's overwhelming. You don't really appreciate the beauty of the bridge or the beauty of the shops all around. But at night, you can sit down on a wooden raft, drinking a spritz, and you're just alone by yourself.
In Rialto?
No, along the Rialto Bridge. Once
Via
you go down. Yeah, very close to the fish market.
So there's the market there, and there's all these wonderful little taverns and bars.
Yeah.
And at night, you get your drink and you sit there.
You can drink.
A lot of times, I'm out at 10 o'clock enjoying that scene, and I just think, people are back in their hotels complaining about the crowds. Take a siesta. Be out at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, you can enjoy the sunset on the Grand Canal, and that's magic.
I love it. Elena Zamperon and Lisa Anderson, mille grazie and buon viaggio.
Grazie,
Tarik.
Let's head to Rome next to see how its historic architecture can speak volumes about the city's long and complicated history. And while we're in Rome, we'll look at how the works of Michelangelo continue to define what beauty and genius mean to us 500 years later. It's Travel with Rick Steves.